Talk Radio Network.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Help.
When I was younger, so much younger than today,
I never needed
anybody's help in any way.
Yeah, how about that for a little energizer on a Friday morning? The Beatles. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, who, by the way, picks out all of our songs. I hope you like them. We thank you for joining us. It is Friday, April the 23rd. In a few minutes, Zach Smith will be here. We're going to talk about D.C. statehood. Should Washington, D.C. become a state? Good or bad idea? You know, there's some interesting arguments, actually, on both sides of that. And I'm going to challenge Zach a little bit. So it should be interesting. Stay tuned. And the stock market yesterday, 300-point plunge. Why? Well, President Biden's going to push a huge capital gains tax on wealthy people. And that's a good part of the reason. Meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris, it's been, what, 30 days now? Over a month in her new job as border czar? Has she been there? No. And we're going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole about both the capital gains tax. You know, he's a businessman. The capital gains tax and Kamala Harris and what she's not doing. A little bit later in the show. Also, we are going to unpen Wilbur the Duck because we have another edition of Campus Quackery, this time for the entire state of Virginia. Yeah, the entire state, so stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, I don't know who would want to know and therefore go there, but we're going to give you the top 10 most expensive U.S. colleges. We'll see if Ed went to any of them. The most expensive U.S. colleges, so stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, I'm telling you, you want to get the best haircut and also get an excellent price, then you got to get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin. I mean, that's easy to reach in Tampa Bay, Dunedin. It's just off of, actually, just a few miles west of State Road US 19. It's on and just off State Road 580 Main Street, Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza. Call first, 727-733-3773. By the way, I hope you were listening to Good Morning Clearwater Monday through Friday. They are on 8 to 10 a.m. Paul and Tracy Allen, let them start off your day. They are so fun to listen to. All right. So we got a lot of things going on, as usual. And one of the things is this capital gains tax. It's kind of slipping through the cracks. What with the thing with George Floyd and, you know, and the border situation. But Biden is proposing doubling the state's capital gains tax on investments, like real estate, you know, and stocks. Doubling, right? And guess what? It's the common man that's going to get hurt if he does that. Do you think the rich people really get hurt when you start trying to be smarter than they are and try to double their taxes? Do you think they're the one? You know what they do? They find tax shelters. If it's affecting their businesses, they do what they need to do to be able to reduce that problem, one of which is either to produce less of the product or let go of more people, usually common people, so that they don't end up taking a huge punch. So you're not gonna hurt wealthy people when you do this. Bloomberg News says that the new top capital gains rate would increase, almost double it, from 20% to 39.6%. And you don't think the stock market tumbled 321 points yesterday on news that that happened. 320, you know, I think that the job market and the economy, and up until recently the stock market, is doing well in spite of Biden, in spite of the Democrats. It's not doing well because of the Democrats, in spite of the Democrats. So the Dow falls 321 points. Biden is exploring raising the capital gains tax rate in the middle of a pandemic, or maybe hopefully at the end of it. But while everybody is still scrambling to get people back to work, why is he doing that? They can't even fill restaurant jobs. Did you know that? They can't fill restaurant jobs around the country, including here in Florida. They can't fill them. You know why? Because a lot of people are taking free money from the government. Unemployment, this boost in unemployment payments because of the virus is keeping a lot of people from going out and getting jobs. Why the hell should I go out and get a job? I can make almost as much or more by sitting at home and taking a monthly check, an extra X amount of money that's coming in by, you know, being on unemployment. So this is all these things. These are the things that happen when you have the federal government sticking its nose and its hand and everything else into the private sector. It affects badly the free market, personal responsibility, all of those things. And that's what's happening right now. It's just, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. So the infrastructure, that's another thing. And they're trying to put all of these things together, of course, in one package, right? But let's get back to this capital gains tax. And I'm looking at what the New York Post had to say. It says, for people earning $1 million in high-tax states, their rates on capital gains could wind up higher than 50%. You want people to pour out of places like New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and all of these other places that already have high taxes, especially on wealthy people? Just do this. Just do this, you know? Oh, my goodness. That's why people are pouring into places like here in Florida. We have low taxes. And we have a governor that tries to stand up for people to make this an economically attractive place for both businesses and people. And it's working. It's working. So anyway, we'll see where Biden gets with this tax thing. The Republicans will fight it. But the tax hike, the capital gains tax hike, could be like in California, 57%. Come on. Why don't you try to take 99% of what people that work hard earn, do? Why don't you try to take all of it? Even then, you're not going to be able to pay off all of these things you're trying to do. You could take every penny. You could take every penny from rich people, and you still won't pay this off. It is so stupid. It drives me crazy, actually. Go ahead, Ed.
By the way, to answer your question earlier, has Kamala Harris been to the border yet? The answer is no, but she is actively looking for it.
Yes.
And to her credit, that she's been busy with the Japanese consulate, having sushi with them, because Joe has been taking his late morning nap quite often now. So,
One of these days, they're going to walk into the presidential suite and try to wake him up, and I'm afraid he ain't going to
I think he
respond.
Can only knock between the hours of 1 and 3 in the afternoon, and that's it.
Do they have a taste tester for him? You know how the kings they'd have someone actually taste their stuff?
Well, mashed potatoes taste the same no matter how you serve them. Oatmeal. What's that? What's that stuff?
Jell-O. You forgot Jell-O.
Jell-O.
And soup.
Jell-O's always
around. But you can poison
around.
The soup. The Jell-O, it's hard to poison.
Yeah.
But he didn't poison the soup.
The geritol.
Oh, gosh. Hey, listen. We have to make jokes because it's kind of sad and scary, some of the things that are going on. Anyway, let us take our break. And when we come back, our buddy Zach Smith will join us from the Heritage Foundation. We will talk about D.C. statehood.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello, everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Cantalk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back here on a Friday and delighted to have back Zach Smith from the Great Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk with Zach a little bit about D.C. statehood. By the way, yesterday, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill or legislation to make Washington, D.C. our 51st state. It passed completely along party lines, I should say. All Democrats, 216, voted aye. 208, all Republicans voted nay. So here we go again. Zach, welcome back. We talked about this, you and I, about a month or so ago. It's kind of come back up, popped up its head. And I was listening to some things this morning, I must tell you, and I think they can make a somewhat decent argument, not that I'm in favor of it, but they can make a decent argument as to why Washington, D.C. might be considered as a 51st state. Anyway, I want to get your thoughts on it. Why should we not want the people of this area, this little niche, to have statehood?
Well, I think there are two separate questions we really have to talk about here. The first one that you mentioned is whether the district should be a state. And I think there are good reasons it shouldn't be. And it's, you know, everyone certainly agrees that the founding fathers never intended for the district to become a state. They intended for it to be a separate federal entity. And then that kind of leads into the second question, that if you do think the district should be a state, how do we get there? What's the appropriate mechanism for converting its status from a federal entity into our nation's 51st state? And unfortunately, the mechanism that's being proposed now, a simple legislative act by Congress, H.R. 51 and S.1 over in the Senate, is unconstitutional because in order to transform the status of the district, a constitutional amendment would be required. And historically, this hasn't been a partisan issue or a controversial issue. And in fact, both Republican and Democratic Justice Departments that looked at the issue said exactly that, that in order for the district to become a state, a constitutional amendment is required.
Yes, indeed. I think you can make a stronger argument for the running it through the process of each state having a say than the other argument, which is, do you think that the people that live in that area should have statehood? Now, going back to the founding fathers, we didn't have Washington, D.C. originally, of course. We had Philadelphia, and I think for a while we had the in New York, right? So they were actually Our headquarters were inside of a state at one time, right?
Well, fair enough. But the Constitution, when the Constitution was adopted, it explicitly contained the District Clause, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, that basically authorized the federal government to accept a tract of land no greater than 10 miles square to serve as our nation's capital. The only thing that was left open for debate, really, at that point was where the capital would be located, whether that, you know, tract of land that would be a federal enclave would be in New York or would be in Pennsylvania or somewhere else. And, well, of course, as we now know, it, you know, it ended up on the banks of the Potomac River, composed of land that Virginia and Maryland donated for that purpose. So it was always contemplated that our nation's capital would be a separate federal entity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. Now, people drive around, I don't think most people outside of the Washington area know this, but even on their license plates, they're protesting the fact that they're not a state, right?
Right.
What does it say? Taxation without representation or something?
Right. No taxation without representation.
Yeah.
But look, this goes back to another point. The district does have representation in Congress. They have a non-voting delegate, Eleanor Holmes Norton, who is clearly very effective at her job. Because she's brought this D.C. statehood bill to a vote in the House of Representatives and gotten it passed in the House of Representatives this year and last year, despite it being very unpopular outside of Washington, D.C. itself.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly than that, you know, the status of the District of Columbia, as one Justice Department report from the 80s put it, they said, look, this isn't a civil rights issue. This isn't a racial issue. This is a constitutional issue that goes to the core of our very federalist system of government. Because if we alter the status of the District of Columbia, where our nation's capital is now effectively surrounded by one state, that would pretty much undermine the original purposes for an independent federal capital that the framers of our Constitution envisioned.
Fair enough. We're talking with Zach Smith, legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Meese Center. And by the way, he testified before Congress on this. And in your testimony, Zach, you argued that this act would be unconstitutional. Any attempt to make D.C. a state short of an amendment would be legally problematic. I think you're right. I mean, even if the Senate somehow, now the Senate, which we know is at a 50-50 Republican-Democratic ratio, I think there are several Democrats, maybe you know better than I, that probably would not vote for this. So they're not going to pass it, I don't think. Your thought on whether or not, or the chances in the Senate?
Well, I think it certainly faces an uphill battle. You know, last year when the same bill passed the House of Representatives, it obviously didn't make it out of the Senate. I'm hopeful that same thing happens again now. There are still four Democratic senators, three Democrats, one independent, who have not signed on to co-sponsor the bill yet. That's Mark Kelly and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, and Angus King of Maine. And so I'm hopeful they recognize the constitutional problems with this bill will put country over party and really, you know, stick to their guns and say that even if they do support D.C. statehood, that this mechanism for achieving it is not the appropriate one.
Right. We're assuming that all the Republicans would vote against it. I don't know that there's any that would even consider voting for it. They'd probably be tarred and feathered. But all you need is one Democrat to say no, right? And that would knock it off right there. I'm thinking that
right.
It's probably... Okay, so let's look at people that are living in the city of Washington, D.C. Are there any benefits? Is there any representation that they are missing out on? Now, they pay taxes, right? They pay federal taxes.
Right.
They do pay federal tax. A lot of them argue, why should I pay federal taxes if I have no representation with a congressman or a senator? What would you say?
Well, look, going back to the Founding Fathers, you know, if you go read Federalist 43, they thought that the fact that the district residents would live so close to all the members of Congress, the fact that they would live so close and be part of the same community as many of the high-ranking executive branch officials, would ensure that their interests were adequately represented and protected in Congress and in the federal government. And so, again, you know, if you disagree with that, or if you think that that may have been true in 1800, but that's no longer true today, we get back to that same conversation about what's the appropriate mechanism for changing that. And once again, it's the Article 5 amendment process provided for in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also important to note that statehood isn't the only option. You could also, you know, potentially, and you may have heard discussions about this, retrocede the land that's currently the district back to the state of Maryland. You could potentially treat the district residents as though they were Maryland residents for purposes of voting in federal elections. And so this idea that statehood is the only option is just not accurate.
Okay. And then you can also argue that if they did allow this city, I call it, to become a state, then they might get preferential treatment as citizens too, right? Because they, the people that live there but, you know, represent other states, if you know what I mean, are probably be more favorably disposed to them. So they might get preferential treatment. Would that be a fair thing to say?
Well, look, you don't have to take my word for it. Representative Jamie Raskin, a Democratic House member from Maryland, he wrote a law review article in the early 90s where he basically said if the district becomes a state, their senators and representatives, because of their proximity to the Capitol, would be able to devote more time to influencing their colleagues on the Hill. Mm-hmm. And as a result, would likely increase in power and influence and exercise an outsized influence compared to that of their colleagues. So, yes, that's absolutely a very real concern. That was a concern that the Founding Fathers had. They didn't want one state to have, you know, too much influence relative to the other states. And so I think that that is a very real concern and one that, you know, frankly needs more discussion before this radical transformation of the district status takes place.
Okay, right. We're talking with Zach Smith. Again, he is a legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, testified before an oversight committee on D.C. statehood and reasons why it should not happen. Now, we know that the Democrats, I mean, let's be honest, the Democrats want two more Democratic seats in the Senate. Then they'd have a 52-50 majority. They pass everything because they've already got the House. So it's one of those things. We know that. But there is an argument, possibly, that we could move the Capitol out of D.C., cede the land back to Virginia and Maryland, move it to the center of the country, maybe in Kansas, open up a little plot of land there and drop it there. Have you heard that argument?
I've heard it. You know, it likely runs into some, not all, of the same issues we're talking about when we're talking about, you know, transforming the boundaries of the district. But look, if this radical transformation of the district size, of the district status, is going to take place, you know, that certainly opens up all other kinds of conversations that previously have not been taking
okay.
place.
Right. What about Puerto Rico and Guam? And people will say, look, Puerto Rico before D.C. because, you know, it has more reason to become a state. I mean, could Puerto Rico make a stronger argument to become a state than D.C., do you think?
Well, I think it's important to recognize the constitutional issues we're talking about in terms of D.C. statehood don't exist with Puerto Rico. D.C. is unique in a lot of ways because D.C. is explicitly provided for in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, and then also is explicitly given electoral college votes in the Constitution under the 23rd Amendment. And so both of those issues would need to be addressed and resolved before the district is admitted as a state. So Article 4, Section 3, the admissions clause of the Constitution, would constitutionally govern any potential admission of Puerto Rico or Guam to become states of the Union. At that point, it's really just you're talking about the practical considerations that have always existed when admitting new states. So that's certainly a conversation that's beginning to take place, but it does present a unique set of issues and the constitutional issues that exist in terms of D.C. becoming a state. Do not exist for Puerto Rico to become a state.
Okay. Finally, Zach, if you could look into your crystal ball, do you think D.C. will ever become a state? And if so, would they become a state before Puerto Rico? I know it's a tough one to ask you, but just for fun.
Well, 2020 has taught me that my crystal ball is broken.
Okay.
I'm clear if it's recovered. but look, at least in the terms of the immediate future, you know, I think D.C. statehood faces an uphill battle in the Senate. Certainly a conversation I'm sure we'll continue to have for many years going forward. But at least in the short term, I'm hopeful that cooler heads will prevail in the Senate and that Senate Bill 1 will not be passed.
Indeed. Well, Zach, thank you so much. Always an interesting discussion when you're here. Thank you so much. Look forward to talking with you again soon.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. Zach Smith, Heritage Foundation. Okay, let's take our break. And when we come back, holy Toledo, we got Biden pushing capital gains. We got Vice President Kamala Harris still trying to find the southern border. We got all kinds of things to talk about with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
Has come. And the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works on a Friday. Hope you're having a good morning. Hey, breaking news, Caitlyn Jenner. Remember Caitlyn Jenner, the former Bruce Jenner? She has announced that she's running for governor of California as a Republican. So there you go. Ed, your favorite sports athlete, Caitlyn Jenner, is running as a Republican for the governorship of California. I bet she could beat.
Why not? We got
Gavin Newsom.
Biden's got that one freak show on his cabinet. Why not add some more? By the way, this just ends in breaking news. Kamala Harris did find the border, but it was south of the border. It was Taco Bell, and it said south of the border, and she was there.
And she was there at a Taco Bell. Well, you know,
she ordered a taco.
She prepared for a trip to New Hampshire. She's going in the opposite direction.
She's in the wrong border.
She's prepared for a trip today to New Hampshire. As people are saying, why the hell don't you get down there? Yesterday was exactly the 30th day that she's gone without facing reporters. at any kind of a news conference. What kind of a vice president is she?
Well, I remember a year ago that dude that's got the TV show, Richard Madoff, he was crying.
Richard Madoff.
He was crying on the air for all those children. Richard Madoff was just crying his eyes out.
You're a cruel person.
What?
Richard Madoff. Okay. Hey, we got the proprietor of the barber pole. He's falling asleep because I haven't brought him on yet. So, Andrew, we got a lot of things going on. I don't know what you want to talk about. We could talk about the border. We could talk about George Floyd. We could talk about the capital gains tax. Would it affect you and your business? We could talk about a lot of things. What do you want to talk about?
Well, now you know why Kamala Harris only got 2% of the vote in her primary. She's useless.
I think she's worse than useless. She's a negative. She's hurting things.
Well, so is her counterpart, Uncle Joe.
Yeah, well, Uncle Joe, we know about that already. I wonder if he's woke.
What's this guy dreaming? 50% capital gains tax. Is he out of his mind?
Yeah, this is ridiculous, and it comes at the worst possible time. I bet he's still in bed, by the way. It's only 10:30. So he's probably still in bed. They're going to wake him up about 11:45. And they're going to let him know that the stock market dropped 321 points yesterday.
Well, he'll be happy about that because that's what they're trying to do, Paul. They're trying to break the country. You know, just like you guys were talking earlier about restaurants not being able to get any employees.
That's right.
They're getting people used to getting government money.
Exactly right.
Okay,
that's exactly right.
The socialism, they're baiting the people and they're falling for it.
Now we have a pandemic that we're hopefully coming out of. Most of us are resuming our normal activities. We're learning more and more that we shouldn't fear this thing as much as we did. Like you said, such a small percentage of the people that actually even, you know, succumb to something like this, they're probably succumbing to other things. And we're starting to blame this as one of the reasons. But anyway, so the capital gains tax for a business like yours, is that going? Would it affect somebody like you, or is this just a millionaire's tax? That
Paul, it'll affect me with my real estate that I own.
No, that's true. Yes,
if I go to sell it, and you know what amazes me? I got my one little daughter that's a liberal. By the way, I'm cutting her out of my will.
No, you. Just because she's a liberal?
Oh, yeah. Well, she's so proud she voted for Biden, I told you need to call Uncle Joe when you need something.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know what? By the time, because you got a long ways to go, by that time, she'll become a Republican, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know, man. She was brainwashed at Florida State, buddy.
Okay.
She might have been a Republican before college, but
yeah,
the party's over. And you know what amazes me is I told her she needs to write a book on how to work the system.
Well, that's true. She should learn something while she's in school.
I mean, it amazes me that she's been going to college now for about 7 years. She knows how to work the system. I mean, I paid for a lot of it, don't get me wrong. But now she's older, she got married, she's still going to school. I call her a professional student.
Well, there are some of those people still wandering around. A lot of them, as a matter of fact.
Oh, no question about it.
Hey, what do you think about the DeSantis signing that bill, that anti-riot?
It's great.
Bill,
listen, and I get a kick out of them. We're going to protest that bill. What do you think? They got a right to riot? You can peacefully protest all you want. We don't care. But when you start knocking and building, starting fires, it's time to bring out the manure cannons.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it.
Now, they got... yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I said, well, don't you understand about breaking the law?
Right. So they got a completely, totally guilty verdict on all counts for that guy in the George Floyd trial. And still, in New York, I'm reading this morning where they're desecrating monuments and all kinds of stuff. I don't know exactly what they're vandalizing. It might not have anything to do with it. But we've just got this, what is this mentality now? I mean, you know, if it's not in New York, it's in Portland. If it's not in Portland, it's in Seattle or it's in Minneapolis.
It's like I told you, Paul, summer's coming. And in these states, you know, they had winter weather, it's cold. So they got their winter wardrobe. It's time they need their summer wardrobe, and this is what they call the summer riot sale.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I mean, it's like it's ongoing, never-ending. There's always going to be an excuse to smash in a store window, right? It's always going to be an excuse to bring down a statue or vandalize something. Or break into a federal building in one of the states or something.
90% of the population are not happy with the way this country is heading right now. And when Joe wakes up for his milk and cookies, maybe somebody ought to point that out to him.
He seems to be just, I mean, even when you see the guy, first of all, he's reading it, and he can barely finish the sentence. I feel sorry for him. One of these days.
Well, I thought about that, Paul. What they need to do is turn the teleprompter now to the television cameras. This way, the people can read it.
It would be more exciting if I read it myself.
A little bouncing ball, you know? When we were kids, things.
Yeah.
A song with
yeah.
Bouncing ball. This country's falling apart with these morons, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, I can't say that people got what they voted for because they didn't vote for this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't wait to see in Arizona now. They're doing forensic audits on these Dominion machines, you know.
Are they?
Yes, they are, sir. The people in Arizona, for some odd reason, started crying. I mean, they voted for Biden in Arizona, didn't they? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, although that remember, it took I don't know how long to finally tally the vote in Arizona.
Like a county or something. But now the people are going crazy. So they're actually doing a forensic audit on every Dominion machine that was used in Arizona. And they're talking a couple of million votes were fraudulently put in there. And you know what? Once they start proving this, Paul, what do they do? Once they prove it, what do they do?
Well, it's a little late to kick Biden out of the White House.
Well, you know, if you got in there fraudulently, he should be stripped of his power.
They're not going to do that, even if they were able to prove it.
Well, you know, Paul.
That would make Kamala Harris the president. Paul, you don't want that.
Might not do it, Paul, but the American people might.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's like I said, if they prove this was fraudulent, there's going to be 80 million really pissed off people.
Well, speaking of those machines... What's going on with the Mike Lindell? Have you read anything about Mike Lindell's?
Well, I heard that he countersued Dominion. They were suing him for $1.3 billion, and he's turning around and countersuing them for $1.6 billion. So
uh-huh.
This is going to get interesting because, you see, all the courts that hid this stuff when it was brought up, even our so-called gracious Supreme Court, okay, were chicken to do the right thing. I think they were all threatened. With their families. I mean, are you people this afraid? But Mike Lindell, with doing this, I think this guy could be a savior because all this stuff has to come out in court.
Yeah, and I'm kind of waiting for it. Are they looking for a specific court date? I mean, do you know anything about the minutiae on this? I mean, like, when are we going to see or hear anything about the trial?
They'll try and keep it as quiet as they can, I'm sure, but I don't think Mike Lindell will.
Oh, and also, if you were in California and you heard that Caitlyn Jenner was running as a Republican for governor, would you vote for her?
It's amazing, because now we're going to be tit for tat. Because the health person here, did you see that transgendered, whatever it is?
Yeah, you talk about, I'm sorry, who?
I believe he's a health or something.
Oh, you were talking about in the Biden administration.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have one.
Well, they've got one of these people, and you know what? Now we'll have one.
Yeah.
We've got to keep a balance, you know, so many senators, so many transgenders.
But Caitlyn Jenner is going to be a Republican. Is a Republican.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It will be even.
Yeah. I think she could beat Gavin Newsom.
This country coming to?
Well, I think she could beat Gavin Newsom.
What the hell he is, and he's going to run a country. Are you kidding?
No.
It's ridiculous. These people need to go back in their caves. I don't know what they're trying to prove, but we got a country to run here, and it's not running. It's not running too well right now. It's running on. It's probably running on two cylinders out of eight.
Yeah. Well, at least we got Ron DeSantis as sort of a buffer for Florida between us and Biden's Washington, D.C.
If all the politicians in this country were like Ron, huh?
Yeah.
We would be a stand-up country. Unfortunately, a lot of these don't have any Cajuns. But I did see an article the other day where they're having silicone balls made for the Republican senators.
Really?
Yes.
Silicone?
Yes.
Well, they
girls have silicone implants. These are going to be the same thing, just in a different spot.
I don't know how to respond to that. As a matter of fact, Andrew, only to say it's always a pleasure to have you on. I mean, you really make this show. And
well, you know, I try to say it as I see it, Paul.
Yeah.
Right now, my vision is pretty blurred. I need to get to the optometrist because I don't think I'm seeing straight.
Oh, well, there's a lot of us that are wondering what's going on. My friend, I will look forward to talking with you on Monday, as always.
Right,
thank you.
Paul, you have a good week.
All right.
And Biden be with you guys.
we don't want that. No. All right.
Be good, buddy.
Thanks. There he goes. The master barber, he's always got something to say. You know, I never have to worry when we bring him on that I got to, you know, prime or pump him. He's ready. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're unpenning Wilbur the Duck. Another edition of Campus Quackery. The entire state of Virginia. You're not going to believe what you hear. Okay, here we go.
If I can hold you, then let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love goes a tumble down. You leave me breathless.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Indeed, we are back. And by the way, if you can't listen to us live, and we're here, by the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern. But, you know, you're busy. You can't always listen live. So you can go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Ed sets up all our shows on podcast, bless his little heart. And you just click on the podcast button at the top, and you will see a list chronologically of our shows, and you will see who the guest is, you know, and what our top 10 is. Play it at your leisure. Or you can listen three or four or five times. I mean, there are real pearls of wisdom in those programs. So you need to listen again, because you'll miss things otherwise. OurFreedomWorks.com. All right, well, listen to this, Ed. The Virginia Department of Education wants to eliminate all accelerated math programs prior to the 11th grade because they want to keep higher-achieving students from advancing past those that don't do as well in math. So they want to keep them all clustered together so that... Isn't that the most ridiculous thing? Oh, I mean, Lord. If you have somebody, and you're a teacher, and you see that this person has a certain aptitude, wouldn't you want to give them a little bit more challenging mm-hmm. things just because you can see that they will do better? Or would you just kind of dumb them down? I mean, this is the concept of this thing. It's ridiculous.
So if you got a student that's like, they're having a test, and the student is done in like 8 minutes, and the rest of the class needs 2 hours? What do you do? You tell that kid to go in the back and play with his crayons or what?
Yeah, you can't leave. Come on now. What are you? You're going to show up the other students? You're going to show up the other students just because you know the answers to the questions? We want you to sit here and struggle like everybody else.
I mean, in regular public high school, don't they advance you? They put you in a, you know, say, listen,
yeah, they have
the guidance counselor says, hey, listen, you're ahead of the game. We're going to bump you up.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't they do that in a paid college?
They do it. But Virginia's Department of Education wants to eliminate. The Loudoun County School Board posted the change on Facebook. It says, as currently planned, this initiative will eliminate all math acceleration prior to the 11th grade. So if that's right, that's the freshman, as we used to say, freshman, sophomore, and junior years in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He says, nor does there appear to be any discretion in how local districts will even implement this thing. So if the schools locally already have an advanced program in high school for kids. And I remember I was lucky enough to get into an advanced English class. And I enjoyed it because we did. We went a little bit further with things.
Mm.
But.
So you were a teacher's pet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I bring these.
Bring an apple.
I would bring apples. Oh, I would bring oranges. Man. I would bring all kinds of things. One day I had to pay them off with actual cold hard cash. But.
I didn't find out until class reunions, you know, 20 years later that some of my teachers could be bought off with a fifth of liquor. I didn't know that. I didn't get that memo back then.
Well, you know, when you're in fifth grade, you just don't think about those things. That's the truth.
And how did you buy it?
I know. You'd have to steal it or something out of a store. Anyway, this is just kind of the scary thing about dumbing down education.
Yeah.
That's why we wanted to talk. Before we go to our top 10, which is, by the way, a very good one. It's about the top 10 most expensive colleges. I hope none of them are in Virginia, because you ain't going to get your education's worth of money or money's worth of education. I want to talk to Ed about what's going on in the world of sports. We've got a lot of things going. We simultaneously have our baseball team, which is always doing well, and we have our hockey team, which I think won again against Columbus. Yeah, so we're happy. What about one of the best players we don't have on the Lightning right now is Kucherov, the forward Kucherov. He's so great, and look how good they're doing without him.
And Stamkos either.
That's right, Stamkos. So two of our best players, and yet we're still continuing to win.
Kucherov might be back for the playoffs, and Stamkos, I don't know. It's not the same injury that he's had, the sports injury that he's had in the past, but it's just an upper body thing, and I don't know when he'll be back.
Like, I mean, they're running right now, and we're getting into a point where the playoffs are in sight, and we've got, what, Carolina and the Miami team and Tampa Bay. They're all fighting for first place.
Yeah.
So it's kind of exciting. What about the
and the Rays are starting to piece together some wins. Of course, they swept the Yankees.
Yes,
broke my heart.
No, it didn't at all. Yeah,
and then they took 2 out of 3 from Kansas City, which they should have got the 3 out of 3. But we're not going to be greedy.
So is our pitching good for the
it's
Rays
coming
right
along.
Now?
It's coming along. You know, we're believe it or not. Listen, we lost our two best pitchers last year in Blake Snell. You know, and Charlie Morton.
So and was it because
there's
of
a
money?
Bit of a drop off. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. Yeah. Money.
Well, this has been the Rays.
Well, the Blake Snell
game plan.
Thing, the Blake Snell thing went deeper than we thought with the World Series pulling him. Privately, he did not want to be here.
So that really left a sour taste.
He knew that this organization was never going to let a pitcher play a full game or finish a game, and if you know that. If the
really?
No hitter was in, yeah, that's just their way is to keep the. In other words, a pitcher is more valuable to Mark if he's finishing games.
Yeah, but they wanted to win that game. There's no way that the manager is thinking ahead like that. He pulled him because he made a mistake, but he didn't pull him because of some financial thing at that point.
Don't be surprised.
That's kind of conspiratorial.
When the guy's cutting the checks, calls down to the dugout.
Oh, come on, Ed.
Come on, Ed.
No. The guy cutting the check wanted them to win as much as anybody. I think he just made a stupid maneuver. We're talking about The final game, right, in the World Series?
No, it was actually game six.
Game six in the World Series, yes. Okay. All right, Ed. It is time for our top ten. I think this is a good one. It comes from Statista, Statista.com. The top ten most expensive colleges in the country for 2019-2020. And we will give you their annual cost along with their top ten. Okay, here we go. Number 10. Amherst College. That's in Massachusetts. If you go to Amherst College, be prepared to spend $73,950 per year, Ed. All right? Number 9, University of Pennsylvania. Yes, indeed. University of Pennsylvania charges $73,960 per year. Now, that's not just tuition. You know, that's all of the stuff. You know, the average student price. Okay. Number 8. Number 8 surprised me, because it's in the California system of colleges, but USC, Southern Cal, $74,111. Must be the lifestyle in Pasadena where it is. Wow. Number 7, Trinity College. Yeah, Trinity College, a somewhat religious college, $74,400. Can you believe that? Where's all that money going?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm wondering. Number 6, Scripps College, $74,788. Number 5, Duke. Yeah, I know Duke's a good school. It's got a very good reputation, as well as good in basketball. Duke University, $75,031 to be in Durham, North Carolina, at Duke. Number 4. And I'll admit to this, I don't know where this college is, but it's pretty expensive. It's Barnard College. You know where that is by any chance? $75,524. Number 3, Columbia. That's an Ivy League. Ed's yawning on the drums. He thinks this is a slow and boring top 10, don't you, Ed? Well, let's be honest about it. You don't like it, do you?
I have no comment.
Okay, number... I heard you had a comment the other day. Anyway, number 3 is Columbia. That's all right. 76,000.
I was so bored I started playing drums.
You did. $76,920. Number 2, University of Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a good university, but wow, you got to pay $77,586?
Now, does a firearm come with that college?
Well, it's in Hyde Park. It's on the southeastern, right on the Lake Michigan. It's an attractive, nice neighborhood, but you do get a firearm.
Okay.
You do. All right. All right. You won't know this, Ed. No reason to ask you. Just roll the drum.
I was going to say something like... Stetson or something.
No, you wouldn't say that. You know that Stetson. Why would you think Stetson? It's a law school.
Stanford.
Oh, Stanford would be a good one. Yeah. Stanford would be a good one, but it's not the right one. Right. Listen to the name of this. Harvey Mudd College. Harvey Mudd College with two D's.
What college are you going? Harvey Mudd.
Yeah, Harvey Mudd.
Sorry,
where
what?
Is that? Right.
Harvey Mudd.
It's Harvey Mudd.
Isn't that the name of your fraternity? Or?
Yeah, Harvey Mudd sounds like some guy that owns a tailor shop or something. Harvey Mudd Tailors. But it's Harvey Mudd College. Harvey started at some point. $77,589. Wow. All right. Thank you so much. We will be back on Monday. Remember, freedom works.